back to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. We're going to go right into old-time radio. This week's program is Fibber McGee and Molly, Zinta Lessons and Buried Treasures, originally aired May 16th, 1939.
Valiant and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Donald Norvitz, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Sing My Heart. Zither Corporation has finally delivered Fibber's instrument. We almost said musical instrument, but we've heard him practicing on it. And here on the back porch at 79 Westville Vista, speculating on the non-arrival of the promised 10 easy lessons, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
I know what happened to them 10 lessons they were going to send with this thing. Ain't this a beautiful instrument?
I like a piano better.
Well, piano's all right, but it's a little hard to manage in a canoe.
Say, why don't you play something, McGee? Try the Three Little Fishes.
Oh, I can't. I don't know how to play boom, boom, din, datum, wadum on a zither.
You know what my favorite song would be on that hangnail harpsichord?
No, what?
I Get Along Without You Very Well.
Say, how about Little Sireckle?
Oh, that's a cute number.
But that sounds good.
Little Sireckle, how do you do? Hello.
McGee.
What's the matter?
Look at your garden.
Huh?
The neighbor's chickens are in there again.
What? Why, those two-legged beef bandits? I'll show them. Here, hold this zipper.
Get out of there, you jackass.
Learn that guy next door to keep his chickens at home.
You mean teach him?
Sure. I'll teach him to learn them chickens whose garden this is.
Oh, calm yourself, McGee.
Okay, hand me my zither. You know what I'm going to do, Molly? I'm going to write my own music. I can knock out some of them tricky modern things. Got one in mind already. I'm going to call it, I Wrote You a Love Letter in Invisible Ink Because I Can't See You for Dust.
Well, that's very sweet, dearie. And maybe you could pound out a little lullaby and call it, Baby Couldn't Wait for the Sandman, so we didn't wash the spinach. Oh, yoo-hoo, Mr. Wilcox. There's Mr. Wilcox in his car.
Hello, folks. Gonna be home a little later?
Yes, we are, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, come on over, Harpo. I want you to see my beautiful zither.
I've met your sister, and take that gum out of your mouth.
Harpo's coming over. I wish I had my lessons here. I'd like to surprise him with a good rug-cutting swing number on the zither.
Does Mr. Wilcox like swing music? He's always so busy selling wax, I didn't think he had time for it.
That's why he likes it. He's a glitter bug. Say, wait till I get to play this zither good, Molly. I'll bet I'll be invited out every place.
Why, sure you will, dearie. Every place you show up with that zither, you'll be invited out, but quick!
Oh, yeah, well, get a load of this tone quality. Ain't that heavenly?
Heavenly? You've got your directions mixed. But now, don't let me discourage you.
Oh, you ain't discouraging me, Molly. Though I can't honestly say you're pouring no kerosene on the flames of my genius.
Well, have your fun, dearie. I've got to go in and finish mixing the cake. And keep an eye on those chickens now.
Okay. Wouldn't care how many of my vegetables them chickens had if they'd lay an egg in our yard now and then. Like a bunch of foreigners that come over here and make a lot of dough and then take it back to the old country. You come up on the porch.
I know you didn't, Betsy. What you doing, mister?
Practicing my music.
Hmm?
I says I'm practicing my music. Always remember that to be an expert at anything, you gotta practice. And when you're an expert, people have to pay for what you do.
Well, gee, people don't pay my grandpa, and he's practiced a long time, Betsy.
Oh. Practice what, zither?
No, medicine.
Oh. Well, that's different. You says I meant... Oh, skip it. What's the matter, little girl? What you looking at?
Did somebody run over your mandolin?
It ain't a mandolin. It's a zither. All zithers is flat-chested like this. Here, you want me to play it for you?
No.
Oh, you like it when you hear it.
Yeah, I bet you I won't, I bet you.
I bet you will. Here, listen.
Oh, wow.
I am a little out of practice, sis, but I used to be quite a musician. Why, back in 1914, all the songwriters used to come to me for help because they knew that they could depend on me to give an old tune a new twist. Tune Twister McGee, I was known as in them days. Tune Twister McGee, the titanic talent that taught Toscan and me to tremble timidly when I took the time, toil, and trouble to tear off a tender two-step, tossing off toe-tapping tunes to tease and tickle the twinkling tootsies of teeth and slip, tantalizing the testy tune smiths of Tin Pan Alley with my torrid tropical tempos, and counted as a typical tip-tock tone tycoon from Tiscuits and Taskets and Tripes that new guitar and cellist tried and true.
Are you the old windbag?
Yeah.
I bet you I've heard you say stuff like that on the radio, I bet you.
Oh, you have, huh?
Who?
So you've heard me on the radio, huh? Hey?
Sure. My papa listens all the time to you.
Oh, he does, eh? That's swell. What does your papa think of me?
Well, he thinks you deserve a nice pat on the head.
Nice pat on the head, huh?
Yeah. He runs a pile driver. Well, come on.
I see your face in Chicago.
Nova singing Our Love. That was swell, too, Don.
I think so, too, Mr. Nova.
Thanks, Molly. I see Fibber finally got his zipper.
Yeah. He's got an artistic soul, Mr. Nova. He wants to express himself.
He'll get a lot of support in that idea. You crate him up, and I'll pay the express. Well, I'll see you later, folks.
Hmm. What is this, Molly? Can't a guy have a hobby without being a social outcast?
Why, certainly, but why didn't you take up something constructive?
Such as which?
Well, piling matches up on beer bottles, or balancing a straw on your nose, or something really useful.
What's more useful than a knowledge of music? Why, listen to this.
Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Hello.
Hello there, Johnny. Good day, daughter. You want to buy some soap? I only got to sell 72 more bars today and I'll win a magic lantern.
Oh, thank you, Little Sir Echo. I guess not.
Hey?
She said no, we don't want any soap. Besides, you want to be careful of them magic lanterns. They're kind of dangerous.
Why are they, dearie?
Well, I had one once, but the only slide I had for it was a view of Niagara Falls, and I threw that on the wall so often the plaster all come off.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one fella says to the other fella, say. I see where a couple of kidnappers in California tied up a big publisher and carried him away. Is that so, says t'other feller. How did they treat him? Well, says the first feller, speaking as a book expert, he says he didn't care for their bold-faced type, but they certainly gave him a nice binding. Well, it's just as well he didn't take any soap, kid. It ain't much good. Shaved with it this morning and it dissolved two razor blades.